Well, my first scripture reference tonight's going to be 2 Timothy chapter number 3, but I'm going to be dealing, I'll be giving several references as we go along, the Lord willing. Well, I've been blessed by coming. It's been some time since I've been here, probably 4 or 5 years, I guess. But due to sickness and other things, we've not been able to come. But it's been well worth the drive just to fellowship with you folks again.
Amen.
And to enjoy the good cooking. You ladies are good cooks.
Amen.
And the message that we've already heard has just been such a blessing.
Yes. Amen.
Such a blessing. We're getting ready to come tonight, and Wayman said, I just hate these preachers that preach on New Year's Eve and the New Year on New Year's Eve services. I think I told him what I was going to preach on.
You did?
I think I had.
Yeah.
But I sure was glad when the pastor got up and said what he said, and what Brother Brandon said what he said. Because I'm going to talk about the new year and the blessings that we have in the new year. Now, around our place over the last few years, there's been some hard years. It's been hard years around our place. Of course, I know you all experienced it as well. COVID has ravaged our nation, hurt our churches. Individual liberties are under attack, and the churches and the crosshairs of our national leaders in our day. And I believe the judgment of God is upon this nation. I believe God is judging this nation. And there's much that I can say and maybe should be said to warn us about the days ahead, to forewarn us and to prepare us for the days ahead. Paul painted a clear picture of the day in which we lived in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There he said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such, turn away. You may be seated. And you know, I know, that we're living in dark, difficult days. And I'd like to tell you that in the months ahead, things are going to get better, but it may not. Things may grow much worse in the months ahead of us, in the days ahead of us. But I want to say to you tonight that though these are dark times, troublesome times, we are not without hope.
Amen.
We are not alone. Our God is with us.
Yes. Yeah.
And our God promises to meet our needs in the months ahead of us as he has in the months behind us. And all of us can testify here tonight. We can all stand and say that God has been good. God has been good to me. And if he's been good to you in the past, friend, you can be assured that he will be good to you in the days ahead.
Sure.
He said in Malachi 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. So for just a few minutes tonight, I'm not going to keep you long. Like Elizabeth Taylor said to her fifth husband, I won't keep you long. I want us to look back at some of the ways in which God has been with us and blessed us in the past years. And as we look back,
yes,
I want us to be encouraged to know that this is not going to change,
right,
no matter how dark the days may come.
Amen.
This is not going to change.
Yes.
As God has provided for you, as God has provided for me in the years past, my friend, God is going to continue that same blessings toward us in the years ahead.
Yes.
So that being so, I want to point out just three or four simple things tonight. First of all, that being so, I want to say to you that in this coming new year, we have the assurance of God's unfailing love. Aren't you grateful that God loves you like our brother and sister were singing a few moments ago? We have God's unfailing love to undergird us. Jeremiah chapter 31, and the Bible said, the Lord hath appeared of me unto old, appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Thank you, Lord.
All of us ought to be rejoicing tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
And how good God has been to us. Oh, for God's great love to us. And I want to say to you, my friend, that is not going to change.
Hallelujah.
No matter what lies ahead in 2024, that's going to be the same.
Right.
Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of God?
Yeah.
Shall tribulation or distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for his wonderful love. And I want to tell you, friend, we need to be continually reminding ourselves in these dark days of God's love for us, of how he has always loved us, as they sang a few moments ago, and my friend, how he will always love us in the days ahead. But I say to you that God's love is first love.
Praise God.
And by that I mean he loved us before we loved him. John writes, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. You see, God's love is not a responsive love.
No.
A love, he loves us not because that we love him, But God's love is a love that loved before it was reciprocated. God's love for us doesn't originate in us. There's not anything lovable in us. No, God's love originated with Him.
Yes.
We're the objects of His love. We're not the source of His love.
Amen.
You know, I love my wife. We've been married 62 years now.
Amen.
And when I first saw her, I was in a Baptist church in a revival meeting, visiting church. I was in my home church, and she was about three or four benches ahead of me. And the young man that I was with, I seen her, and I didn't know her from Eve.
Right.
I mean, I had known her. They had visited our church before, but I didn't know who she was. But I told Lloyd Beasley, I said, "That's the girl I'm going to marry." She's beautiful. She still is in my heart. And if she asks you what I said, tell her I said that.
Yes. Absolutely.
And, but you see, now listen now. She was 12 years old when I met her. And for years, I'd go over to their house and watching her. Of course, the biggest thing is how pretty she was, but watching her, I grew to love her. She was a source of my love. I loved her because of who she was. But my friend, that isn't the way it is with God. Oh, listen, He loved us while we were yet His enemies. He loved us when we were still sinners. He died for us on the cross. Oh, blessed be His name. His love is a first love. And might I also add tonight that His love is a full love.
Yes,
you remember what on the night before Jesus was crucified in the upper room, John wrote before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, literally what that says is, He loved them to the fullest extent. They could not be loved more. He loved them to the fullest extent. Aren't you glad, friend, that there's nothing you can do that'll cause God not to love you?
Lord, yes.
There's nothing you can do that'll cause God to love you less than He loves you. He loves you. He loves me to the fullest extent. Listen, we can't be loved any greater than what He loves us.
Amen.
And by the way, might I also say to you that there's nothing that we can do that'll cause Him to love us less, but there's nothing we can do to cause Him to love us more. His love is a first love. His love is a full love. And I add tonight that His love is a forever love.
Amen.
Jeremiah 31:3. I read just a moment ago, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Growing up in the church, as I was a boy, a lady in our church was really my second mother. It was Blanche Parrish. And Blanche had a beautiful singing voice. Now listen, I believe I was 7, maybe 8, 9 years old, somewhere along in there. But she'd sing, occasionally she'd sing. And she'd sing, "He loves me when I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
He loves me when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He loves me when I'm weak and when I'm strong. Oh, he'll never, never change. He's every day the same. For God is God and God is love." And my friend, you and I have the promise of God's unfailing love, the abundance of God's unfailing love in this coming year. Well, let me add another thing. In this new year, we are the guarantee of God's sufficient grace.
Yes.
Of course, you remember the story in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where Paul talked about having a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible said that he prayed three times that God would remove that thorn. But the Lord said to him, "Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength," Paul said, "for my strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in my weakness." Now, we're grace people. We believe in the grace of God.
Yes.
And of course, this book is a book of grace.
Absolutely. Yes.
Our Bible, our God is a God of grace. Our Lord is a Lord of grace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. The Bible has much to say about the grace of God.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that as God's children, we've been selected by grace. We've been chosen by grace.
Amen.
That's what they sung about just a moment ago. He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Amen.
We've been chosen by grace.
Yes, sir.
We've been saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we've been schooled by grace.
Yes.
Paul writes in 2 Titus, or Titus chapter number 2, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And we've been schooled by grace. We've been taught by grace. I say to you tonight, there's not any possible hope for you and I to live the next 12 months. The Lord lets me live. You all have the meeting next year. I'm able to come. I can assure you that over those months, we're going to experience trials and testings. We're going to need the grace of God.
Yeah.
There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be disappointments.
Yeah.
But in the face of all these trials, you and I can be assured, we can be guaranteed that God's grace will be sufficient.
Amen.
Paul says two things here. Number one, he says God's grace is always available for the child of God. It's always available. You see, the Lord didn't say, my grace will be sufficient. No, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. It's always available. And might also add that it's always adequate. My grace is sufficient. I read years ago about a man buying a brand new Rolls Royce. They delivered the automobile, cost him tens of thousands of dollars. And of course, immediately he began to look at the manual and all, and he wanted to know all about that car. He paid a great sum of money for that Rolls Royce. And he read and he read and he read, and he never could find what the horsepower was in that Rolls Royce. He read the manual all the way through. He went back to the dealership and said, I want to know what the horsepower is in this Rolls Royce. And the dealer said, I have no idea. We'll have to write the company. They wrote the company, and a few weeks later, there was a letter come back. He opened the letter and seen the letterhead was from the Rolls Royce Company, and down at the in the page, there's one word, adequate. Adequate.
Amen.
My friend, listen. His grace is adequate.
Amen.
It always has been.
Always will. Yeah.
And it always will be.
Thank you, Lord.
It's been that way in 23, and it's going to be that way in 24.
Yes.
Oh, we have the guarantee of God's grace. Then thirdly, we have the pledge of his abundant provisions. God always takes care of his little young'uns.
He does.
You remember he writes in Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Not out of his riches, but according to his riches. In Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't say a thing in the world here about supplying our wants. I tell you, over the years I've met numerous folk that live in nice houses, drive nice automobiles, they're in good health, and they got about everything. But you know, one little thing comes up, and they're unhappy because they don't have that one little thing. And God don't ever promise to give us our wants, despite what these prosperity preachers preach.
Amen.
He has promised to meet our need.
Yes.
David testified, I've been old, I've been young, and now I'm old. And he said, I've never seen God's people forsaken, God's children forsaken, and them begging for bread. And I want to tell you, my friend, none of God's little children are on spiritual welfare.
No,
our God is a faithful Heavenly Father. He takes good care of his own. He's provided for us in the past. In fact, the first time I come to preach here in Mark Tree, I weighed about 140 pounds. 220. God been good to me.
Yes, sir. Trust in the Lord to be made fat.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I can tell he's been pretty good to you, too.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, listen. We have the promise of God's abundant provision. He knows our needs. You remember our Lord in that great Sermon on the Mount said, your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. He knows our needs. He's always provided for our needs. And he always will provide for our needs. I was reading just recently about Elijah on that brook. You remember the ravens were coming feeding him morning and night. And finally the brook dried up. And God said to Elijah, I want you to go down to Zarephath. I got a widow down there that's going to take care of you. God always provides for his own. And in my case, his supplies always been much more than I needed.
Right.
It's always been in abundance. I heard a fella tell the story some years ago about a missionary. His name was R.H. Gordon in Africa. Him and his wife were working with the people in Africa on the African plains, and they were driving, and their automobile tore up. And this was back when automobiles were, very simple. And he thought, well, I'll be able to fix it, but he got out looking, and he had tools and all, but he had no idea what was wrong. And so he said, wife, let's pray. And she said, we're out of here in the plains, in the wilderness, miles and miles from anybody. There's no help anywhere around. And that missionary, Gordon, got down on his knees and began to pray. Lord, our cars broke down. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how to fix it. Lord, would you send us help? And his wife said, ain't going to be no help coming. We're out here. There's nobody out here. And in a couple of hours, they seen another automobile going across the plains, and that spotted them. They spotted them. That car turned and went to where they were at. They introduced themselves and told what they was doing. And then he said, what do you mean doing out here on the plains? They said, well, we're from America. We're hunters. We're here to hunt big game in Africa. And now what's wrong? Why are you all not going on? And he said, well, my car broke down. And they said, well, we have to be four mechanics. And God sent them an abundant supply. Well, just two more things, simple things. And then I'll be through. We also have the possibility of his return.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
We're getting close, friend.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, I know that I've been preaching that now for many, many, 5 or 6 decades. I've been preaching that he's coming again. And believe it or not, I have had people say to me over the years, I've had come say, well, preacher, you've been preaching that for years and years. And I just say, well, we're just that many more years closer.
Yes.
We're just that many more days nearer to his coming again. And of course, there's promises. We know he's coming because of his promises and because of the signs. He's coming, but it might be this year.
Thank you, Lord.
Might be this year.
Hallelujah.
Could be this year.
Amen, AC.
And so he may come this year. Now, nowadays, it's getting hard to preach on the second coming.
It is.
I don't know. You'd think that the farther down the road we got, that people get more excited about it because we're getting closer. I know one thing, we're four or five years closer than was the last time I was here.
Amen.
We're close. Amen. And it's just a possibility that he'll come this year.
Right.
And take us home in the rapture. But let me close by saying this. Even if he doesn't come this year, even if I leave by the way of the grave, now I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for one in the sky.
Yes.
I'm looking for the Lord to come. But if the Lord does not come this year, I got the certainty of his welcome if I go home this year.
Amen.
I'll be 80 years old this year. Next year I'll be 80 years old. And God has so blessed me. But over the last 2 or 3 years, my health really went down. In fact, I've got to where I can't go much. And sometimes even at my own church, I have to have a stool to sit down to preach. I'm not able to visit like I used to. Now, I still visit. And I still do the best I can as a pastor. But my health's going. And there've been many a night I've laid on my bed and said, Lord, why don't you just take me over home? Just take me home now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I used to look for the Lord to come. I wasn't so excited about his coming as I was my leaving. But now I'm anxious to see him. I want to see him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you and I, listen. Some of us, if we get to come back next year, some of us may not be here. But we have that certainty.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That if we leave out by the way of the grave, that we're going to have his welcome home, my
yes.
son.
Hallelujah.
My good and faithful servant. You remember Stephen? The Bible tells us that when Jesus ascended into heaven, book of Hebrews said he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And that's where you see him, sitting at the right hand of the power of the Father on high.
Yeah.
But when Stephen was being stoned, you remember what he said? He said, I see the heavens open, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, I wish I'd been a better servant. I do.
Yes.
I'll be glad when the judgment seat's over.
Yeah.
I will. I hope I'm first to get it over with first. I'll be glad when it's over. But I believe with all my heart that he's going to say, welcome, son. Welcome, son. You've all heard this story. I used to know the missionary's name. I looked it up, and I used to know the missionary's name. Where the man had been on the field for many, many years. He and his wife were coming home.
Yeah.
And they arrived in the New York Harbor.
Yeah.
And a huge crowd had been away for about 50, 55 years. And a huge crowd had gathered. And his thinking was, surely some of these are here to welcome me home. But Teddy Roosevelt was on that same ship. And when Teddy Roosevelt departed the ship and went, as he went away, all the crowd went away too. And there wasn't a person there, not one there, to greet this missionary and his wife after he'd been on the field for over 5 decades. And he dropped his head and he was somewhat discouraged. and sad. And his wife said, "What's wrong, honey?" And he said, "After all these years, you'd think maybe just one, two, three, somebody would be here to greet us when we come home." And she said, "But darling, we're not home yet."
Amen.
The rapture may come this week, and we do. Hey, listen, if we do, I'll wave at you from Tennessee as we go up.
Amen.
But if the Lord doesn't come, and I go by the way of the grave, I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen.